We bless you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Presence of the Lord. So when we worship in that manner, your prayer time, even when we worship in that manner, there's something specific that is happening. It is heightening an awareness of God in you. Not just around you, because God is all around us. Come on, say God is all around us. But not just around us, but he is in us as well. He cannot be omnipresent everywhere, but not be in us. So he's over there and he's over there and he's with them and with them, but he's also with me and in me. So oftentimes, I don't know what you did today. I don't know where you were or what you had to deal with or who you had to talk to that didn't know that God was in them. Maybe the moment wasn't aware of the presence of God being everywhere. And so we have tendency to do the different things and go through the different things and go through the different motions and maybe lose awareness that God is here now. Say, God is here.
God is here.
Now. Put your hand on yourself. Say, God is here.
God is here.
Now. Say it one more time. Say, God is here.
God is here.
Now.
Now.
He's not, he won't, will be here. He's not going to be here once I feel the goosebumps. He's not going to be here once the slow music come on for worship service. No, say, God is here.
God.
Put your hands on yourself. Say, God is here.
God is here.
Now.
Now.
There is one of the greatest things God ever said to me, and it wasn't even a deep moment, and it wasn't even like a booming voice or a thunder and all these different things. I'm sitting there talking to my barber at the time. We're just talking. He cutting my hand. We talking. And if anybody know me, after a while, we're going to start talking about the real words. Oh, Jesus. If you're around me and I don't talk about the real words because I'm suppressing it. I won't be a weirdo, right? But we just talking and we were having, shout out to Marcus, we were getting a good conversation and we were getting a good conversation. And we're talking. I'm saying, man, Jesus, you know, Jesus this and Jesus that. And we're talking to Jesus. And then I heard him say, stop talking about me like I'm not here.
Come on.
I got tight in the chair. What? He said, stop talking about me like I'm not here. You keep referring to me and referring what I'm going to do and referring to what I did, but I'm here right now. Come on, say, he's here right now.
Here.
Put your hands on yourself and say, he's here right now. He said, stop talking about me like I'm not here. Because I'm always here whether you recognize me or not. There's a couple things God needs out of you. He needs acknowledgement and he needs awareness.
Jesus.
Everybody say acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement
and say awareness.
Awareness.
Come on, say it again. Acknowledgement,
acknowledgement
and awareness. One more time, say acknowledgement,
acknowledgement
and awareness.
Acknowledgement.
That means every moment of my day as I move, if I speak, as I move around, I'm acknowledging God is here. Say it. And I never let a moment pass by without recognizing that God is here. This keeps me aware. If you ever pay attention to how Jesus talks, because sometimes we like what he does, but we don't pay attention to how he talks. Sometimes we like what he does for us and what he can do for us and what he's done for us, but we don't want to do that same thing he does. Listen to what I'm saying. But if you ever pay attention to him, and if you talk like he talks, he never talks unaware. There's never a conversation of what is going to happen because it's I am.
Yes.
Boy, Sunday morning, Lord have mercy. And I hope you went back and listened to it. And I hope you still go back and listen to it.
Yes, sir.
Right? I am that I am. Say it.
I am that I am.
Now, if you pay attention to what he's saying right there, he's naming himself, but he putting you in the name.
Yes.
Amen.
If I tell you that you are here, then how would you say that back to me? You got it?
Yeah.
This is how you would refer to it. If I say you are here, the way that you would say it back to me is,
I am.
Ain't that something? I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
If I tell you that you are something, then you are. All right. If I say you're rich, what you say?
I am.
Yeah. If I say you are healthy, what do you say?
I am healthy.
If I say you're above, what do you say?
I am above.
If I say you're a winner, what do you say? See the I am, 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 see the I am. So, and before he tells him, tell them I am that I am, he says, I certainly, I'm going to get ahead of myself, it's Exodus 3. He says, I certainly will go with thee. He didn't say, I'm going to go with you. I certainly will go with you. Exodus 3, go real quick. And I want to speak to how we respond to God. Because see, our response means everything. When I said acknowledgement and awareness, my response to God being here now means everything for here and now. Now faith is. Not now faith will be.
Right.
Not now faith was. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things you can't see. So you don't need to see it because God is here. Say, God is here.
Yes.
Now.
Now.
Put your hands on yourself. Say, God is here.
God is here.
Now.
Now.
When I walk in the room,
now.
Say it.
God
walk in the room. You say, where can we go? Where can we go? We can go to the mountaintop. We can go to the depths. There's nowhere that we're going to go that he's not there. What can separate me from the love of God? And we've allowed ourselves to partition where God works. We put doors on it. We put boxes on it. We put walls on it. We say God works over here, but he doesn't work over here. We say God is here, but he's not here. And so when we're over there, we're not aware. Because we only got our awareness over here. But you can't have both of them. You can't say God is omnipresent, but God not be somewhere. All right. I also want to deal with real quick. God is not just there to catch you in some mess. You know, we learned that when we was younger. You know, God always watching. He always, ain't no way you can go when he can't see you. You know, everything that comes in the dark comes to the, you know, so now we scared. Now we fearful. No, that's not a fearful state. That's how we learn the presence of God. No, God is here. Put your hands on yourself, please. I hope you catch the drill, please.
Yes, sir.
God is here.
Now.
Even when you don't feel spiritual. A lot of times, I found out, this is just me, y'all can talk about yourselves. I found out a lot of times when I'm not at my best, that's when I know him the most. When I'm not, because we get on our P's and Q's, then we in control. We on out, we got our stuff together, you know, we all on top. So now we in control and we say that's the glory of God. No, that ain't it right there. It's in that part where you feel a little destitute and you feel a little lost. And you feel a little desolate and alone. Yeah. That's where he right there. He come in right there. He say, now you can see me because you got the clutter out the way.
Yeah.
Now you can see me. Now you can see me because all the stuff that's been covering who I am in you is moved out the way. Verse 1, chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midianite, and led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame out of fire in the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Let me give you a little history. I did a little study on this and just watched some things about it. It was not unnormal or uncommon for a bush to be burned in the desert because it's the desert. Y'all know what happens in the desert, right? It's hot. Hot as, I'm not going to say the rest of it, right? But it's hot. You get it? So it's so dry and so hot that all it takes is a little spark or something and something going to catch a fire. So it is not uncommon for a bush to be burning. But the uncommon part is for it not to be consumed. Oh, yeah. See, it's it's okay if it's burning, but if it's not consumed, God is in it.
Right.
Cool, y'all got it. And so Moses said, I will turn now aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Because I didn't seen them burn before, but I usually see them burn up and see it spark out and fizz out and the fire gone. But this bush still here and it's still burning. Something going on different here. All right, and I got to get through this. When the Lord got to turn aside to see, God said to him, out of the midst of the bush, said to Moses, and he said, here am I. And he said, draw now hither, put off thy shoes, off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I just need you to understand that wherever you stand is holy ground. No, say wherever I stand. Say it loud, wherever I stand is holy ground. Stop judging the ground and be who you're supposed to be at the ground. He told Abraham, and see, Abraham didn't catch him. I got to go to the story because the reason Moses got to deliver the children out of Israel is because of how Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob handled things. They were only in Israel, only in Egypt, because Joseph brought his family into Egypt. And over years and years, now this new Pharaoh, and I don't know y'all people, so now y'all slaves. He told Abraham, get out from your family to your kindred to the land I'm going to show you. He's talking about the Canaanite land, the land of Canaan. When the famine hit Egypt, Abraham went to Egypt. He was never supposed to go to Egypt. He went to Egypt. Come on. Can we talk about it for a minute? He go to Egypt. They try to take his old lady. Y'all let me talk like I talk. Let me talk like you talk. Try to take his old lady. Say, she pretty. She bad. Let me take her. Abraham scared. Here, that's my sister. I'm glad Jesus says before Abraham was, I am. Because if I was left with that, then I'd be a scared coward. Right? That's how he ended up getting rich. At the beginning, he go in there. Then Pharaoh said, man, what you done to me, man? What's going on? You done told me? Why you lied to me and told me this your sister? This your old lady. This your woman. What you? Man, take all this stuff and get on out of here, man, before something happened to me. And they're saying Lot went with him. And now they're in trouble. He said, get out from your family, from your kindred. Why Lot went with y'all? I know we like to say Lot was smart, but Abraham should have been smart and said, no, you got to stay. Because if you come with me, you're going to block. And y'all, watch this. As long as Lot was with him, God shut up. Wow. It's not until they got into that beef. They herdsmen got into that beef. And he said, look, you pick the land you want, and I'm going to go to the other land. As soon as they separated, God started talking to him again. Pick the right way he left off at. Yeah. What God is doing a lot of times is separating you from false identities. Yeah. Listen. I need to get you out your father's house. Because you acting like your father. Watch this. They got mad at Jesus. I don't have time to go. John 5, we'll get over it. But they got mad at Jesus for calling God his father, making himself equal with God. So whoever you consider your father is your equality. That's what you're equal to. You know, there's a scripture. We don't go that much because we don't really know how to preach it. But Jesus says, don't call no man on earth your father. He said, you got one father. That's your father. Because he's trying to equate you to God and not to your ancestry. If the people, us that are alive right now and living, would understand that God as our father and become equal with God, we'd fix all the things in our DNA, all the things in our bloodline. God wanted to use you to do it. He wanted to use you to sanctify that bloodline and put it back in alignment to what he called at the beginning. That's why it's important for you to say our Father. It is not optional for you to say our Father. It is a direction. Because he's lining something up. Y'all know God got a plan, right?
Yes, sir.
No, answer me. Y'all know God got a plan, right?
Yes, sir.
Hold on. Do you know that you're his plan?
Yes.
He says, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face and he was afraid. And the Lord said, because I've surely seen the affliction of the people that are in Egypt and have heard thy cry and reason the taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. I'm come down to deliver them. right? I don't want to read everything right now. It goes down to verse 10. He says, come now, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people out of Egypt. He says, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? This is where we were Sunday, right? Verse 12, and he said, watch this. Moses says, who am I? In other words, what you mean? How are you going to send me down there? And the next thing God says to them, he says, certainly. Everybody say certainly.
Certainly.
Come on, what certainly mean? Come on, give me your definition. What's up? Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah. I'm definitely, ain't no doubt in my mind that wherever you're going, I'm going to be there. Yeah, certainly I'm going to be with you. Certainly I will be with you. Certainly, oh, and I'm telling y'all that God says, certainly I will be with you. Come on, say God is with me. Yeah. Say God is here now. When God says certainly, yeah, doubt should be gone. Now, I'm going to show you something. After that, the conversation is over. As far as I'm concerned, as soon as you told me, certainly, I will be with you. Where we going? Because you told me you're going to be with me. So what's the move? Where we going? That's where I'm going. Where you going? Where you going? That's where I'm going. Because certainly. Now, y'all got to get the context. Can we get the context a little bit real quick? It's important to get the context of what's going on. He's talking to a bush. I know we skim over it a little bit. That's how we do it. The Bible stories. We like, and we like think that's normal. You ain't never talked to a burning bush in your life. So let's understand the magnitude of this moment for a second. He's talking to a bush that ain't burning. The bush that told you to take your shoes off. You took your shoes off. Listen to the bush. I need you to have context of where we are right now. You're talking to a burning bush that's giving you instructions about something that you never thought you were going to do.
Come on.
So my awareness should be heightened then. So I don't approach, watch, here we go. I don't approach God with my lower awareness. I found out something about God. If God tells me a thing or tells me something about myself, then I am to trust what he says about me because he knows me better than me. It does not need my questioning. It does not need my rebuttal. It does not need my, well, I wonder how you're going to do it. It don't matter.
Right.
You got to speed it up. Sometimes the conversation needs to be sped up. Sometimes we're talking too long and we're not obeying enough.
Yes.
Our submission needs to be lifted to a premium. When God, why would, Jesus says, be perfect as your Father is perfect. So why are you going around saying ain't nobody perfect? Well, ain't nobody perfect. That's what you said because you heard somebody else say that. Jesus says, be you perfect as your Father's perfect. And why would he tell me be perfect if I couldn't be perfect?
Yeah.
So you got to read between the lines. You got to read what he's saying to you without saying it to you.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yes.
Certainly. I will go with you. Now I'm telling you to go. You say, oh, well, who am I? Certainly. I'll go with you. Shut up and move.
Yeah.
Come on, look at yourself real quick. Come on, look at yourself real quick and say, shut up and move. Just how y'all need to talk to yourself. Y'all want to talk all these things. I am smart. I am intelligent. I am wise. You need to talk. Shut up and move. Sometimes your consciousness don't understand a nice talk. Your mind, your thoughts. I don't mean to get on there for a minute. Sometimes your mind, your thoughts, they don't understand nice talk. See, I'll tell y'all how God be talking to me and my, hey. Stop talking about me like I ain't here. That's how he talked to me. He talked real strong. It's real aggressive. Hey, my son, I love you. I just want to. No. Get up. What you doing? Where you at? Why you thinking like that? I'm here right now. Why you talking like that? Why you acting like that? Stop all that crying. All that doggone crying like I ain't here. Stop all that complaining. You complaining about I'm with you. All that worrying you're doing. All that fear, talking about I'm depressed. Says who? Who told you was depressed? Right. You remember? They said, we hid because we was naked. Who told you was?
Yeah, that's good.
Whose report did you take over God's?
Yeah.
So God is here.
God is here.
Now. I want to say this again. God here whether you feel him or not. It's the awareness of God that overrules your consciousness. It's the awareness of God that overrules the situation or the circumstance that might seem like it's there. You heard what I said? It might seem like it's there. You heard what I said? It might seem like it's there. You heard what I said? It might seem like it's there. Trying to act like the truth, but it ain't the truth. There's only one truth. Jesus says, I am. Then he goes on to say, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, what shall I say? For God of your father sent me. He's asking all these questions. Asking all them questions. Then God said, I am that I am. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
That's powerful on Sunday, right? He says, I am that I am. In other words, ain't no other conversation. I am what it is, and that's a wrap. You are too, but you don't know it. That's why I told you to say it like that. Can you imagine walking to somebody and they say, who sent you? You say, I am that I am. Because we are churched. You know, we're like, oh yeah, that I am sent me. But if you walk to your office or to work tomorrow or whatever it is, and they be like, well, who told you to come over here? And you say, I am that I am sent it. He's gonna look at you like you're crazy, huh? Well, and the next thing I say, well, who do you think you are? But you see what God is doing?
Right.
God is, watch. He could have said, I am sent you. He could have said, tell him, I am sent you. He didn't say, tell him, I am sent you. He says, I am that I am. And he's trying to, watch this, watch what he's doing. He's trying to get you to get that on your lips.
Yeah.
Come on, say, I am that I am.
I am that I am.
Come on, say it again, I am that I am.
I am.
Come on, say it one more time. I am that I am.
I am that I am.
That sounds like God is here now.
Yes.
Exodus 33. And I don't want, the Bible, the oh, keep going, Exodus 33. The Bible is a story about who you and I are. I say this very, very often. The Bible is a story about who you and I are. And I say the red words tell us who we are in the story. If the Bible was a whole play or a script or whatever, the red words tell you the role that you play. They tell you the lines that you're supposed to say. They tell you how you're supposed to think about yourself, how you're supposed to think about situations, how you're supposed to do your enemies. How you're supposed to do it when they sue you for your coat, give them your cloak also. Let me get that conversation. It's telling you that this is what God looks like when he functions in flesh. The word made flesh and dwelt among us. This is what God looks like. So it tells us our lines in the story. Now we're saying everybody else's lines but ours.
Come on.
We playing everybody else's part but ours. When you see Jesus, you see you. I hear what I'm saying. When you see Jesus, you see where you should be standing. Now we say those things. Like he paid the price for us. He redeemed us and all these different things. But we don't understand the power of the redemption. Redeemed you to what? Redeemed you just to get healed so you don't have to take them pills no more? No, it's much bigger than that. Redeemed you just so you ain't got no bills no more? No, it's much bigger than that. Those are all these things be added. No, y'all didn't hear me. Most of the things that we call prayer is just preference. Absolutely. I know. Ow. Everybody say, ow. Yeah, most of what you call prayer is preference. You're trying to use the presence of God to get what you want, like you want it, how you want it. No, but he said, when you pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Not my name. I ain't trying to make a name for myself. Hallowed be thy name. Oh, hold on. He said, my kingdom come, my will be done. No. thy kingdom come. Yeah, thy will be done where? In earth, as it is in heaven. Now it bypasses my preference. Y'all didn't hear me. It bypasses what I'm preferring. What I prefer is less than what God prefers. He already know what you had need of before you ask him. So why are you asking for that? You're wasting time asking for that. He already know. Watch what he says. For your father already. Your who? Your father already knows you have need of all these things. So when you pray, pray like this. You don't need to pray like that. Pray like this because I already know. And I'm trying to put you in a position where all these things will be added to you. I'm trying to turn you into a magnet. I'm trying to change your polarity. The way you've been praying, now you've been pushing it away. Y'all done had them magnets before. You turn them inside and they push, and you can't put them together because you flipped the wrong way. When you flip the other way, it'll snap together. I got ahead. Chapter 33. And this is Moses again. Everything that happened, now, all the different... In the Red Sea, I mean, all of it is just he done seen so much stuff. This is how I know a sign ain't going to do it for you. Yeah. A sign not going to do it for you. But then God showed me a sign and I'm going to do it this time. No, you're not. He said, Jesus said, they said, show us a sign. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. What? A wicked and adulterous generation. What? A wicked and adulterous generation seeking after the sign. What does that mean? That's a wicked generation that ain't in covenant with me. Wow. You acting like we ain't married. Wow. You are, You out here mingling with all these other mindsets. And you joining yourself to strange people. And strange understanding and strange thought processes that don't look like me. Yeah. You're joining yourself to strange things and now you want a sign from me. You won't join your mind to something else, but then you want a sign from me. The audacity of you, God says, the audacity of you to join your mind to that way of thinking, but then want a sign from me. You want me to prove myself to you.
Come on, Jesus.
The audacity of you, I receive it. The audacity of you to ask me to prove myself to you. And you want me to prove something to you? Up here with your breathing self. I'm looking at y'all right now. There's something in between you and I right now that you can't see, but is keeping you alive. No, look at me. There's something in between where you and I are right now that we can't see it. Come on, you can't grab it. You can't store it. You can't put it in the bank. You can't hold it, but it's keeping you alive. And you want me to prove myself to you? You need another sign? You need a miracle? You need a miracle? You don't need no miracle. You're breathing. With your woke up self. Woke up this morning. God is here now. Say it. God is here now. Yeah. You're looking for something else. You want to move from God. You don't need to move from God. God is already moving. He never stopped moving. You may be unaware of him moving. And then don't say thank you for the breath. Because you done got normal with it. You think it's supposed to happen. You think it's supposed to be like this. God ain't got to do another thing for you. The audacity for you. Listen to what I'm trying to say. This is what I'm telling you. I said in the office the other day, me and Darius talking, I said, you know what? God don't owe me nothing. Oh, y'all look quiet. Y'all think God owe y'all something. Hold on. You human rights. You think, God don't owe you nothing. Don't say, God don't owe me nothing. I need to say it with your mouth so you can just put it out there, even though your mind ain't mind that agreeing with me. See, I know what your conscience do. I done dealt with the mind a lot. The mind start fighting when that new stuff come. When something that's fresh for you, your mind be up in there talking about, nah, and you try to find the scriptures to fight that thing that's coming to you because your mind don't want to go there, trying to hold you back to where it's at. Your intellect is not in control. It's the instinct of God on the inside of you. Yeah, the Spirit of God is on the inside of you. Your spirit should be informing your intellect, not the other way around. I saw a line the other day say your intuition, your intellect, the Spirit of God, your instinct, the Spirit of God on the inside of you, the instinct and the intuition and the intellect were always supposed to go together, but the intuition has the reins to the intellect. You know what the reins are? That means your intellect a horse. They got another thing that's like a horse. It's a donkey. Y'all know the word for the donkey? No, hold on. Y'all make me cuss up in here. Don't y'all make me cuss. Do y'all know the word for the donkey? Yeah, you know the other word for the donkey? I'm talking to David. I'm trying not to. Y'all know the other word for the donkey, right? Yeah, your intellect will be one of them sometimes. Your intellect will act a donkey. Your intellect will have you looking like. No, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, your regular thoughts. What your mom and them taught you, your conditioning, what you grew up with, the regular normal ways, your fearful ways, your worried ways, your concerned ways, and you start functioning out of that. That becomes your God. Yeah, they'll have you acting like a. And so you let the Spirit of God, watch this. When you let the God in you have the reins to you, you have the reins over your life. You begin to, I was riding horses. Remember we was riding horse, Buck? We was riding horses. And you get on that horse, you got the rein, they got the bit in the mouth, right? And you ain't got to take much. You get the rein, you pull a little bit, the horse do like that. You let them go straight, the horse say, you pull a little bit to the left, the horse do like that. Yeah, if you're really good, I told somebody, shout out the troop, man. If you're really good, you pull the reins back and the horse start dancing backwards like that. See how you're supposed to be real, winning life. Life is supposed to be willed that way. But see, you can't get on the horse scared. Amen. Because the horse can sense your fear. God has not given us but of love, power, and a sound what? It's the intellect. You see it? But you will not have a sound mind unless you are always aware that God is here now. How could you be scared when God with you? All right, so can I help you find yourself? Say yeah if I can help you find yourself. So when you're fearful, you're not aware. See, you can't be aware of God and fearful. No, I'm trying to help you. You can't be worried and aware of God. If you're worried and aware of God, it's impossible. If you're worried, then your awareness is at an all-time low. Because God is here now. Moses started talking. All this stuff didn't happen. Everything, all the signs, everything that happened. He didn't got all this stuff going on. And God did exactly what he said he going to do. And then here he go. He said, God sent him another one. He said, I'll go with you. Verse 14. I'm going to show you how to respond. We know how to respond to God properly. Verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. If there's no rest, come on, people. If there's no rest, you got to check your awareness of the presence. Because what's the scripture? Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Come on, somebody finish it. Come on. Come on, my good church people. Come on. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. So if there ain't no freedom there. No, it's not that he's not there. You're not aware. Verse 15. And maybe you'll find some nobility in this statement that he makes. Moses really submitted. But at this particular time, once again, there's no need for no more conversation. Stop trying to coerce God into something. Even when we worship, like in the beginning of the service, you're not convincing God. You know who that's for, huh? The worship is for you. God is not egotistical like that. Let me tell y'all something. God is not egotistical or narcissistic. He don't need you to tell him he good all day, every day. He know he good. I'm good with or without you. The man said, I am that I am. You need to know you adore me. Because I already adore you.
Yes, sir.
God, I love you. God, I love you. You think you're doing something. No, we only love God because he. Yeah, I don't need. We got to get this thing in alignment when it comes down to our relationship with God and know what you're really doing. You're not coercing God to move into the room. Sometimes I got a problem with a lot of songs sometimes because we're trying to work God up. Come in the room. Come in. Come on, God. Come on. Come on. Come on, God. What'd you come do? What'd you come do? Come see me. 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 I was here for you. Got you. How you think that building got there? How you think you got there? Where do you think you came from? I was here before you got here. You found me here, God said. I was the beginning of the cosmos before man was even made. What do you mean you want me to come somewhere? No, I need you to come up higher. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Are y'all hearing me? If you hear me, say amen.
Amen.
So now Moses says, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence. What are you talking about? I told you my presence. Go back to verse 14. I told you my presence shall go with thee and I will give you rest. This is the end of the conversation. Many times I find myself, I start seeing Jesus, then I start seeing other people. I take other people in the Bible and see how they responded to God. Then I see how Jesus responded to God. There really doesn't need another how got to do with you? Okay, cool. I got a question for you. You ready? We want to know how. Intellect. That's true of knowledge of good and evil. You always need to know how something's going to happen. You always need to have some smarts about it because you want to say you in the know. You don't need to be in the know. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Faith is actually a conviction of truth, a conviction of trust. That means I got to step out not knowing what the step is. If I know what the step is, I don't need faith. A lot of what we call faith is actually figure. We live the gesture live by faith, but most of us living by figure. We're figuring it out. I need to know how it's going to go. Let's work out a plan. Do I got enough money? Who going to pay for it? That ain't faith. That's figure. What how I got to do with you? The angel of the Lord come out of the sky and say, Mary, thou art favored of God. Now, I don't know if any of y'all done talked to angels before. Anybody talk to angels and they come out, boom. Like, I don't know, but the angel come out and start talking. This is not normal. This moment has become a special moment. There's an awareness that I have now that I didn't have before. It's something going on that wasn't going on before. So I need to be aware in this moment of how I'm about to respond to you. God be gracious with us because of our little teeny weeny mind answers. How this going to be seeing I know not a man. What you talking about? The angel is talking to you right now, telling you that you are highly favored of God and something is about to happen to you that you didn't expect to happen for yourself. I call it efficient submission. And by this time, in our big old age at 2026, we should know better by now. We done had this Bible all these years. You've been to church all these years. We've been to all these prayer meetings, all these conferences. We should know better. Everybody say, I should know better. Come on, say it. Shake your head at yourself. Say, I should know. Shake your head at yourself and say, I should know better by now. It's your big, they say, your big old age. This big old age of where we at right now. With your grown self. We should know better by now. We should, the submission should be more efficient. We're wasting it with worry and questions, and then I need answers. You don't need answers. The reason you think you need answers is because you don't know you are the answer. God, come on, God. Come on, God is here now. Come on, God is here now. Come on, God is here now. I'm not making this up. Jesus said this. He said, I'm in the Father in me, you in me, and I'm in you. What is he talking about? The Father is. They say, low here, low there. No, the kingdom of God is God. Who you think, if the kingdom of God is within you, who you think sitting on the throne of that kingdom of God on the inside of you? The kingdom of who? Wait, whose kingdom is it? So the kingdom of God, didn't say the kingdom of fill in the blank. Say the kingdom of, and where is it at? God is here now. Don't let your feelings deceive you. Don't let goosebumps blind you because your skin don't feel tight. I want to feel the presence of God just like everybody else. I feel like the skin get tight. I don't know how it feels for y'all, but I can't get tight. The hair still stand up on the back of my neck. I get it, but that's my awareness. That don't mean he wasn't there before I felt it. That don't mean he wasn't there. That don't mean he wasn't there before I felt it. He was always there. What does that mean? I'll never leave you. Never? You hold on. Hold on, God. Come on, say it. Let me say, hold on, God. Come on, y'all. I want you to, like, you talk to. Hold on, God. You never gonna leave me? Y'all heard it. Come on, I need y'all to. You gotta get the tone for it's for a reason. You know, you can say, you're never gonna leave me. No, I need you. Wait, hold on, God. You never gonna leave me? Tomorrow. Forget tomorrow. Tonight. Y'all know how it is. They say, as soon as you get the word, the enemy come in and try to throw you off. So I already know what's popping. We got him already. Say, we got him already. We caught you. We caught you, sucker. We caught you. So I know what he going to do already, right? So tonight, when something go on and something, the thought come across your mind, say, wait, hold on, God. You never going to leave me. Never. Everybody say never. 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 Come on, use your hand. Never. Never. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. Never. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. It could never happen. It'll never happen. He never going to leave. So what is the proper way to respond to God? My awareness of God. God is with me always. He never leaves me or forsake me. So what is the proper response to this? Well, Jesus starts telling us. And it's John 5. Go to John 5. John 5. You got to watch Jesus. You got to watch him. Everybody say, watch Jesus. So you keep your eyes on Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus. It don't say, look at him. It says, looking, I-N-G. That means I don't stop looking. The looking is a continual look. Yeah. Like I'm always looking. Yeah. Looking. Yeah. He said, look at Jesus. Looking. It says, looking. That means I'm still doing it. Yeah. No. And you look at me, I'm looking at Jesus. Yeah. If you see me and you wonder what I'm looking at, you ever see me in the parking lot, I'm doing it like this, you wonder, I'm looking at Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of who faith? Are you telling me that he wrote the code for my faith and then he finished it? He wrote the story of my faith. For I know the plans that I have told you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Before you was formed in the belly, I knew you. You mean to tell me he authored it and finished it? It is. He authored it and finished it. So I need to look at him to see how this thing goes. Yeah. The book done. Yeah. So looking. So I need to looking unto Jesus. How did Jesus handle this? What does Jesus say about this? Because whatever Jesus says, what I say. Right? Because whatever Jesus says, what God says. You know when Jesus says, will you see me? He's trying to tell you what to look at. So how do I respond? How do I respond to an all-knowing God that's always everywhere around me, already got the plan, already got it wrote, already got it finished, already done? How do I respond to that? What do I say back? And we see what people do say back. How? This is what we do. Come on. How? Most probably, can I help you? Can I help you? I can't hear you. Can I help you? Yes, and I'm helping me too. All right. So y'all, I don't know if y'all think I'm preaching to y'all, but I'm preaching to me right now. Okay. So I'm hearing things that I ain't never heard before. I don't know if y'all know how this works. I don't think y'all thought it worked another way. Apostle be hearing stuff that he ain't never heard before. And that's how that works. It's a constant flow, a constant river. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes, sir.
most likely, when God does point you in a direction or inspire you for something or tell you to do something, it's going to be something that's going to make you want to say, how? You're going to say, as one of them, you're going to say, when? How? Why me? Where you want me to go? Like all these questions. I'm giving you a head start. You know, to give you the answer to the test before you take the test. I can't hear you. They give you the answer to the test before you take the test. So I'm telling you now that what God, when I recognize the awareness of God in a moment, most likely those are the things that are going to come up in my consciousness. That's just my mind trying to take control. That's just my old thoughts trying to keep the reins. It's like the horse riding your back. It's trying to keep control. Your thoughts, well, let me talk to them real quick, because your thoughts get to squirming. They're squirming right now. They get to squirming when they get real. Because they're trying to hold on to that foundation that they got in your mind. Because they know if they lose control, then God in you, as you, will be in control. And they've been controlling, your thoughts have been controlling you long enough. Some of them thoughts wasn't even your thoughts. There's thoughts that you were handed. Yeah. There's thoughts that you were handed when you couldn't handle yourself. Let me talk to her for a second. Hold on. Let me talk to her for a second. Some of those thoughts are thoughts that were handed to you when you couldn't think for yourself. So you were conditioned a certain way. And you were conditioned a certain way, and that thing is cemented into your mind, and it makes you think it's your foundation. Yeah. So you think God's will is something else, but it's not. Wow. God's will is actually the thing in the foundation of who you are, which is the true you, who you are. But other people have come in and sown tares while we sleeping.
Yeah.
Y'all know when Jesus talking about they sow tares while you're sleeping? Yeah, he's trying to show you something. And that thought, watch this, I'm going to show you something, I'm going to help you. That thought has tried to tether itself to who you are so much that it makes you think that's you.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, worry come up, it make you think that's you. It make you think that's the response. That's not the response. That's something else. This is why it says you bring every thought into captivity. Come on, y'all. Grab it. Bring your thoughts into captivity. Come on, grab them. Bring your thoughts into captivity. You bring your thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see why we got to look under Jesus? You see why we got to look under Jesus? Because if we don't look under Jesus, we won't know that this thought has me in captivity of something else. This thought got me in captivity to this system. And it was handed to you. Well, you know you got to do it like that. Well, you know we ain't never been no. Well, you know you can't. I can do all things. So the word of God, I got to go get over here. Lord, help me. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Why do I say two-edged sword? Because it's going to cut in twos. Dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Yeah. Intellect trying to do one thing, but your spirit saying another thing. Uh-huh. See what those thoughts that don't look like God. See, this word, John 15:3 says, now you are clean through the word I spoke to you. See, the word of God is cleaning you and cutting you at the same time. See, it's severing you from these thoughts, because these thoughts have come in as your nan thoughts and your mom and them thoughts and your grandma them thoughts, or the trauma. Yeah, the trauma. That trauma that tried to stamp something in your mind, and now you walking around traumatic. And now God is saying something else to you, but the trauma won't let you do it. Yeah, and God is showing you something. You feel it very, very strong on the inside of you, almost on the inside of you, like the intuition of God on the inside of you, but you can't move because your feet are in the quicksand of your thoughts.
Yes, sir.
So what the word of God does, the word of God is quick and powerful. Quick means alive. It's not fast, it's alive. When you hear the word quick in the Bible, it's talking about alive. Watch what I'm saying. John 1 says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So when you see the word of God, you're talking about a person. Yeah. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're talking about a person now. We're not talking about a perception, or we're not talking about a pronouncement. We're not talking about reading a scripture right now. We're talking about a personality. So the personality of God is quick and powerful and sharper. It's sharper. Yeah, it's sharper. He's got to say that for, he didn't say it's sharp as. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's a divided asunder of the soul and spirit. Yeah. And the joint and the marrow. Yeah. Watch this. It's two. I didn't know it was two till the other day. Like last week, I realized he separated the two. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yeah.
Because see, your thoughts want to do one thing, but the intents of God's heart want to do another.
Yeah.
Y'all robbing me right quick. Don't rob me. Everybody say amen. Come on. Everybody say amen. Say it loud. Say amen. Come on, say, I got that. Come on, say it again. I got that. Because sometimes that thought that come up first ain't the one you go with. So what do? I consist God. God is here now. Come on, say it. God is here now. And I'm saying, I got you saying this for a reason. Because the same way that you learn your name is the same way I'm teaching your name right now. Because you learn your name over and over and over and over. Come here, Freddie. I don't know if they called you Frederick. I don't know what it was. But come here, Freddie. They call you Freddie when you're small. Come here, Freddie. Stop that, Freddie. Bring me that, Freddie. I was at the house one time, and the people was coming to work at the house. When I was young, I was at the house. And my mom and daddy called my name. So it was Montrell. I walked down, said the dude working, said, oh, you Montrell. He said, I'm looking around trying to see who Montrell is. They keep calling this person named Montrell. Where he at? He said, boy, you famous around here. God is here. God is here now. Not later. God is here now. Say it again. God is here now. Come on, say it again. God is here. So God is here now. So watch what God does here now. You have to keep, I'm going to say it like this, but you got to hear what I'm saying. You've got to keep God present in your consciousness all the time. There's a phrase Apostle would use. He would say you have to practice the presence of God. Now, if you know anything about practicing something, I run that play over and over again. We got it, coach. Nope, run it again. I got it. Run it again. Coach, I just made the shot. Run it again. Because I need to know that when it's game time, we ain't got time to practice. When it's game time, I need you to know the play. I need you to know you gotta have gone over so much that it becomes muscle memory that you're not even thinking about it no more. When something is instinctual, you don't have to think about it. You don't have time to think about it. It is an instinctual move. Like right now, if I swung at you like this, instinctually you're going to do like that. You didn't think about that. Should I move? Should I put my hand up? Have you ever had something, a fly was flying towards your face or something came towards you and you blink real quick? You do like that? Did you pray about it? Should I swing my hands when the bug is coming my way in the name of Jesus? We ain't got time. Either your instinct don't act out or it's in your eye. Either your hand, your instinct gonna come up or you slapped. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Instinct, God stink. There's a God stink. There's a God instinct on the inside of you. There's a God instinct on the inside of you. There's a God instinct on the inside of you that your intellect or that intellect you've been handed is trying to smother. Because it knows if you actually live by the instinct of God, it no longer has control. Those thoughts are the one the devil play with. He tried to get the reins to your life. He'll let you come to prayer. Y'all know the first demon that got cast out was in the temple? In the Bible? Yeah, the first demon that got cast out was in the church. It wasn't in the streets. It's at the temple. It was in there praying. And it's a divider. It's a discerner. It shows you the difference. I wrote this down. Let me read this real quick. The part of you that questions or doubts God is your mind. God's spirit in you cannot disagree with itself. I'm just wrote it down a little while ago, y'all. So we all got to meditate on this. I'm just telling y'all. Your response helps you locate yourself. So you got to find yourself. That's the awareness. You got to find yourself. When you find yourself, you realize, oh, this has been tricking me. Oh, this old saying that I done had over and over again, I was living by it, don't look nothing like God. And it's been holding me back from my God nature. So how do I respond? Jesus over in John 5. You over there real quick? I'm going to go. We're going to end right here. John chapter 5. We often go to verse 39 and we go to the ones that's popular. But watch this. John chapter 5. Verse 17, I'm going to jump through. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said, my Father worketh here too, so I work. You see the answer? You see how he's responding to God working? He said, God working, so I'm working.
Right.
Verse 19, then answered Jesus, said unto them, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. You see it? Say, the Son can do nothing of himself. Come on, say it. Say, I can do nothing of myself. Say it again. Say, I can do nothing of myself. Say it again. I can do nothing of myself. Verse 30. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. But that'll be the greatest affirmation you give yourself on a daily basis. I, when the last time you created some air? I'll wait. I, of my own self, can do nothing. And if you can't create the thing that's making you breathe and got your heart beating and carrying blood, oxygen to your bones and to your muscles and everything, if you can't make that, why do you think you can make something over here? And also, why are you letting that situation punk you? He's done the most amazing work with you already. Yeah. Yeah, there's no price tag for you living. There's no price tag for your life. Huh? There's no value system for that's life. They up there trying to make it and they can't make it. You understand what I'm trying to they're struggling trying to scientifically make life and they can't. And it's you. And then God said, I made you in my image and my likeness. You gotta remember what you look like. You got to remember whose image you made in. God is here now. Come on, say it again. God is here. Come on, one more time. God is here now. So I don't walk around acting like that ain't the truth. I don't let that leave out of my consciousness. Watch this. I'm going to say this and I'm done. You ready? I on purpose keep that on the front of my mind. I keep it right here. I on purpose keep that on the front of my mind. I on purpose say that over and over again. I on purpose keep that on the front of my mind. Because there's a lot of things I keep on the front of my mind that ain't doing me no good.
Right.
So I on purpose.
Yes.
God is here
now.
Amen.